If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. While you're finding Acts 13, I will draw your attention to a half sheet of paper that we handed out that talks about our global partners. Now, those are missionaries, and that is the reason why I'm not going to use their names or their fields, but I do want to draw your attention to the sheet. In today's internet age, interconnected age, we have partners who serve in sensitive areas, and we don't want their names or ministries to be on the internet. So I'm not going to go through that list. I will just say a couple things about it, because this morning, and at least next Sunday morning, we are going to emphasize missions. You see the flags all around. So we're going to talk about missions. So I want to just give a little brief instruction about our missions program and give you a list to pray over and familiarize yourself with. The way it's set up at Community Bible Church is very close to 25% of our general, of our budget goes towards missions. So if you give a dollar in the offering, almost a quarter, it's not quite, but almost a quarter, I think it's 23 point something this year, goes towards missions. And that is divided among the people that you see here on the list. And that support is prioritized, which I will explain here as you look at the list. Our missions budget, by the way, for this year is $81,000. So we will be giving missions $81,000 in 2021. You'll notice that the first listing is church family. These people are members of our church. We're their home church. We're their sending church. I'm their pastor. About 54% of what we give towards mission goes towards them. We try to be one of their, if not the largest, supporter of them financially, but of course we support them in other ways too. But you'll see there are three different family units there, that this is, they're our church family. Okay, they're from here. When they're home, they come here. So that's their that's over half of our support goes towards them. The second category is church extended family, and what that means is that although these, in these cases, they grew up here and left, they still have family ties here, and we continue to support them. The third category is foreign field, which, again, we're careful about mentioning them in public, but they also receive a different level of support. Then we support some who are based in the United States, but their outreach is to the foreign field in some cases, or like Ralph, Lebanon County, or Hope Bible Church, which is a Spanish-speaking congregation in Hummelstown that we support. And then we have a couple retired missionaries that are listed there that we still support, but not at the same level we used to. But we still give them a certain amount of support. So that is our missions family. That is, as we call now, our global partners, to be careful when we expose things to the internet. But that's the list of them. If you'd like to know more about them, I'd love to give more. Many of you get some of them's prayer letters. I could certainly arrange that you could get other prayer letters. So that is what we're talking about as far as our local-based missions program. What we're going to talk about here in Acts 13 is that the Great Commission is a cooperative effort. Now, on that sheet there, you have our part of what we're trying to do to fulfill the Great Commission. But we're going to see here from our text that it's a cooperative effort. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. Now, the book of Acts is aptly named. It is a record of the actions of the apostles and the early church. It is more a history book than it is a church policy manual. It is a description of how things progressed in the era before the church, while the New Testament epistles were being written. The apostles and the apostolic gifts were still at work, and it was an exciting time, but like all new beginnings, it was unique. We believe the book of Acts describes a unique situation. The book of Acts gives us some broad patterns, but the New Testament epistles, the books following the book of Acts, they give us specific instructions. Matthew through Acts are history. Romans through the end of the New Testament are instructions, commands, imperatives, directions. So, as we read our passage, we realize that it is unique to their situation, but it does give us a glimpse of how things got started. Acts 13 and 14 describe what is commonly referred to as the first missionary journey. The first missionary journey. Acts 13 is a turning point, a pivot point in the book of Acts. Look at Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in, now notice the progression, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So as we look at the book of Acts, the first 12 chapters, chapters 1 through 12, focus on Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. As you read the accounts, as you read the events, that is where it's located. It's centered in Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem. But it spreads out to Judea and Samaria. But the emphasis of chapters 1 through 12 is primarily Jewish. It was primarily Jewish. The first converts were Jewish. And the central figure in the first 12 chapters of Acts is Peter. It's Peter. But when you come to Acts 13, you can turn back to Acts 13. There's a pivot point. There's a turning point. Acts 13 through 26, the second half of the book, all right, it's pretty much divided in half here, centers in Antioch, verse 1. And there were at Antioch in the church that was there. It centers on Antioch. And from Antioch, it reaches out to the entire Roman Empire. We've moved out from just Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Now we're going even to the ends of the earth. And the primary people group are Gentiles, non-Jewish people. So it was originally concentrated and working among Jewish people people. When we come to Acts 13, it shifts towards non-Jewish people. And the central figure, of course, is Paul, the Apostle Paul. So you can divide it thusly: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Jewish, Peter, Antioch, Roman Empire, Gentile, the Apostle Paul. The gospel leaves the village culture of Palestine and moves to the Greco-Roman cities, like Antioch. The church becomes almost, for the rest of the book, entirely urban. And you see in verse 1 here that it's very cosmopolitan. The names reveal ethnic and cultural diversity. Now notice this. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, now he's obviously Jewish, and Simeon, who was from Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Man, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, that would have been, of course, in Rome, and Saul. They're from, what you notice from that is, none of them are from Antioch. None of them are from Antioch. None of them were from there. Now, again, so in verse 1, now there were at the church, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there, these people, but they weren't from there, but this is where the church was. They had come to Antioch. And from Antioch, the gospel was going to be proclaimed even to the ends of the world. Verse 5. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of the God. The word of God. Okay. So we learn several things here from this passage. Number one, missions is a cooperative effort involving the congregation. Missions is a cooperative effort involving the congregation. Again, it happened at the church at Antioch. It was there in that church, in verse 2, where they were ministering to the Lord. Okay, they were teaching and preaching. Verse 1, they were prophets and teachers there. The context is the local congregation. There was a church there. There was a church there. But the point of the book of Acts is, and the point of the Great Commission is, what about elsewhere? What about beyond? What about the ends of the earth? There was no church there. So the church there in Antioch was involved with getting the church there across the Roman Empire. So what do we learn here? Well, look at verse 3. When they had fasted, that's the church, and prayed, the congregation, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. The home church sends the missionary. The home church, where do missionaries come from? They come from local congregations. They come from local churches. They come from among us. And the church then sends them out. That's why, as you read in chapter 14, verse 26, they return to give a report. 14:26. From there they sailed to Antioch. So they came back. So they went out, they headed this way, they began to proclaim the word of God, and they came back and gave their report. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that had been accomplished, that's by the church, which sent them. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he opened, now notice this, a door of faith to the Gentiles. Okay, so we're moving, the gospel is moving now to the Roman Empire, to the Gentiles. They were sent out to take it as they proclaimed the word of God. As things were accomplished, they came back and they returned to their home church. They gave a report to their home church. The church at large, though, supports them. Go to chapter 15. What do I mean by that? If it was only up to the home church to get people around to the ends of the earth, we'd be very limited because there's only so many funds available. It takes not just a local church's effort, it takes a cooperative effort on more churches. Okay? Now, look at chapter 15, verse 3. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and they were bringing great joy to all the brethren. Okay? Go down to verse 30. So they're meeting with other churches. In fact, Acts 15 is the famous Jerusalem Council. They go back to even Jerusalem. Verse 30. So when they were sent away from Jerusalem, they went down to Antioch. And having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. So it started at Antioch, but it involved other churches. In fact, it involves the council at Jerusalem, where other church leaders came in to hear what was going on. And as they approved what they were doing, they brought news back to Antioch. Hey, other churches have joined with us. The church at large supports them. And this process is ongoing. It's ongoing 2,000 years later. Look at chapter 15, verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." So it continues. Eventually, as you know, in chapter 16, it reaches Europe. It reaches Europe. It moves from the East, the Middle East, into Europe. But again, as they're doing that, look what happened. Look what happens. Chapter 18, verse 22. After they went to Greece, after they entered into Europe and planted churches, verse 22, when they had landed at Caesarea, they went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. They came back. They returned again to give a report. So missions is a cooperative effort involving the congregation. It was the church there that sent them out. Even though it spread to the whole world, it started at that church there. Missions is a cooperative effort involving the missionaries. Involving the missionaries. There had to be senders, but more importantly, there had to be someone to send. Verse 2, 13:2. Acts 13:2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. There had to be someone to go. There had to be someone on which this church could lay their hands on. Okay? Which, again, commission, show their approval, send them out. Now, this is where we need to be careful. This is where I think proper interpretation of the book of Acts, as opposed to the epistles, comes into play. We don't know how the Spirit said this. Verse 2, all right? While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. That's what happened. We don't know exactly how that happened. Okay? But we did see in chapter 13, verse 1, there were prophets in the church. Okay. We believe at the beginning of the church, in its foundational stage, there were active apostles and prophets. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. But if you go back to Ephesians 2:20, you read this. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. We believe that the apostles and prophets were foundational, And then God gave the teachers, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. So what that says to me is, we don't know how the Holy Spirit did it then, but now the Holy Spirit uses preaching. Now that we have the Word of God, now that we have the New Testament, we preach that. We don't need a prophet to give us new truth. Okay? I'm not going to come up to you and lay your hands on you and say, you're going to go to Mongolia. The Holy Spirit told me that. Okay? That's what happened here. But as the word is preached, the Holy Spirit takes that word preached and applies it to your heart. And when you say, you know what, I think God wants me to go somewhere. Now, that may be next door to your neighbor, by the way. The church, though, going back to Acts 13, the church recognizes their calling. Again, verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, okay, they were already active. They were already the right people before the church recognized it. They were already actively serving, ministering. Now, I don't believe just anybody is qualified. This is a very tricky situation in church leadership. Not everybody who wants to go should go. Okay. They were qualified to go, and the church acknowledged that and laid their hands on them. They authorized that. Okay. Laying on of hands is an affirmation of support, a commissioning, an identification. In fact, I think they, in verse 2, I'm sorry, verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, I think they is referring to the whole congregation. So the whole congregation recognized their gifts, their abilities, their calling. And their And these gentlemen, these missionaries' intimate relationship with God led to this missionary activity of spreading the gospel. I mean, again, what were they doing? Verse 5, they began to proclaim the word of God. They were sent out to spread the gospel. But you notice, verse 3 and 4, there's a balance here. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's the church. So being sent by the Holy Spirit, so who sent them away? The church and the Holy Spirit. The church sent them, the Holy Spirit sent them. They were sent by the church, they were sent by God. Thirdly, missions is a cooperative effort involving the Trinity. Missions is a cooperative effort involving the Trinity. Verse 4. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. The word of God. God, through his word, proclaims that Jesus is Savior, and the Spirit applies that message to hearts. They simply went down and proclaimed the word. It's the Spirit's job to apply that word. But we do see here that God sent the Son, and the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit sends the missionary. The Trinity is involved. God sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit sends the missionary. It's a triune activity. This is the gospel message, that the triune God has entered his creation and the world can know him through the gospel. That is what we're telling. That is what we're sharing. That is what we're sending. We are to preach the gospel. Look at the end of verse 7. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. They want to hear the word of God. They need to hear the word of God. And someone has to give them the word of God. Now again, we're focusing, we got the international flags here. We're focusing on a work around the world. But your neighbor needs to hear the word of God. your coworker, your grandkids. They need to hear the Word of God. You're sent to give to tell them the Word of God. Now, you may not be sent to the other ends of the earth. The gospel message that needs to be carried unto the ends of the earth starts at home. In the church that was there. Okay? In the church that was there. It starts at home. So go back to verse 1 and let me change this a little bit. Okay? Now there were at Palmyra in the church that was there. There was in Palmyra in the church that was there. Who is next for us to lay hands on and send away? Let's pray. Now, Father, we believe that the Holy Spirit sends the missionaries. You sent your Son, the Son sent the Spirit sends the missionary. But Lord, we acknowledge that in this dispensation, in which we don't believe that prophecy is active, that we have the canon, the revealed word in the New Testament, that it's not as simple as just pointing to somebody and say, you should go. But maybe you will have somebody who speaks to somebody else and says, you know what, I think you should think about this. I don't know how you work. I just know you work. And I just know that in this book of Acts, we see that being displayed, starting in Jerusalem to Antioch to the ends of the earth. So we are glad to be a part of that. But Lord, we want to be careful that I see two things that we do that are mistaken. I confess it. One is that for many of these people, the only cooperation we have is to send them their support, and which we're glad to do. But I think there's more to it. And the second is to think that the Great Commission is just over there. But the Great Commission, you told the apostles, starts in their hometown, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So Lord, help us to be willing participants in your program of proclaiming the Word of God, of preaching the gospel, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.